What's up, everyone? Super excited to be talking with Ani today. I've known him for a few years, had no idea he was sitting on a gold mine with glow tanning. In franchising, you have these disclosure documents and they're broken up into sections or item. And the item 19 or section 19 shows the financials. And when I took a peek at glow tanning's financials, which is the average of the stores that they had open last year, and saw that the average store is doing $376,000. I had to get to know Ani a little bit better. So Ani, I'm super excited to have you here. How's it going today?
Well,
anyways, tell me why you chose tanning, and is there any passion behind the tanning industry, or is it more of a business opportunity that you saw?
Yeah. Is it a passion or a business? It's really both, but I would say first and foremost, a business. And that's what really makes us really successful, is because we don't look at it as a passion project. So the way that I explain it is, it's kind of like, I don't drink, but if I did, and I decided, like, it's almost like saying, like, who are the best owners of liquor stores in America? Mm-hmm. And it's Muslims, and they don't drink, right? So because they're looking at it as a straight business, right? So I'm obviously black, so I don't tan. So I'm not looking at it as in, like, oh, this is my favorite tanning bed. Like, no, I'm looking at the data and letting, you know, the data and the customer lead us to what the best decision is on what we do. So for us, it's really like, you know, just looking at the numbers, looking at what we're doing, and being able to kind of make, like, smart business decisions based on, like, where the industry is. And we're also industry leaders, so we're not, like, looking at anybody else. We're looking at just, like, basic business information and data to, like, help lead us, like, to the innovations that we are making.
So let's say it was different. Let's say you're just super passionate about one certain tanning bed or a product or whatever, which most entrepreneurs, that's how they start business, right? It's like, I have grandma's recipe for this cookie, so it can't change. And I think that's a huge pitfall in business. When you're able to become emotionally detached and just look at the numbers and say, I'm passionate about making my franchisees money, because if they make money, I make money. So that's a huge passion, but you don't need to be passionate about the cookie itself. And there's actually a downside in becoming emotionally attached to that. So talk to me a little bit more about just general tanning industry. Who are the players and where's the tanning industry going?
So there's Palm Beach, who's the largest in the country. There's Suntan City, who's second largest, and then we're third. For the industry is growing in the sense of revenue wise, but the industry is consolidating in terms of units. So it's a lot of mom and pops that really don't understand business in general. There's a tanning salon forum that has pretty much probably 80% of all tanning salon owners in America are on the tanning salon forum on Facebook. And people just ask each other advice and answer questions and all that. And, like, you know, you'll go on there and people are like, oh my God, I'm so slow. I've only had, you know, 4 sales all day, which is insane, right? Like 4 sales in like 2 hours is slow. Right. So it's like, I've only had 4 sales all day. What should I do? And, you know, it's slow season and people are just like giving advice like, well, I just noticed that when I just do packages and I don't do memberships where people do auto drafts, that's how I do better. And people are like agreeing with them. Right. So it's like, these are people that don't understand business. Like, everything is going to a recurring model from Netflix, Prime, car washes. You know, gyms have been doing it, we've been doing it, whatever. So those people who don't understand that's just basic business and are kind of emotional with the decision making that they do within their business, those people are going away. And those people are getting bought up by, you know, like, I just finished an acquisition yesterday that's going to close out at the end of the month. In the last 5 years, I've probably done 50 acquisitions and have only kept open probably 10 or 15 of those salons. So that's like 35 salons off the map, right? And then Palm Beach does, I would say in the last 5 years, Palm Beach has probably acquired 250 locations.
Yeah, and they're going after these mom and pops. Sorry, go
ahead. They've closed like 50 of them. No, not 50. They've kept maybe 50 of the 250. So they've closed like 200 of them, right? So in the industry, you're basically going from when there was 30,000 tanning salons 20 years ago, there's 6,500 now.
And but revenue's still gone up.
Yes. So it's like the industry's growing and it might only be growing at a, you know, 3-5% clip, but the amount of salons are going down, which means the average revenue is going up, right? And COVID shut down a lot of salons. So it's one of those things where, and a lot of salons actually stayed open that should have shut down during COVID because of all the EIDL money and all those things that that came that kind of gave them a lifeline. And now that that money is, you know, gone, now they're like, okay, well, what do we do?
Yeah, what do we do? Yeah.
Yes. So they're coming, there's people like us, Palm Beach, Suntan City, they're coming in, scooping those people up, consolidating locations or going to new markets.
And I mean, in the tanning and the spa industry, the equipment is expensive. So what do you do when you've been in business for 15 years? You're, you know, barely paying yourself a salary. And then now it's time to upgrade, or a glow tanning opens up next door. Like, you know, well, do you beat them on price or do you beat them on quality? You're not going to beat them on quality because you don't have the money to spend. So it presents a really good opportunity for a really established brand to come in and be part of this consolidation. I mean, it takes money to do all the training, the tech, the marketing, have the high quality equipment, and these smaller ones just don't have. You really need to be part of a larger platform in order to get those benefits, which is crazy. Kind of leads us to glow tanning. You move to a market, not only do you have more beds, higher quality beds, more spa equipment, but you're charging a lower amount. What's the strategy there? How do you charge less for more services and still maintain a high margin?
Yeah, so we understand what we're doing is we're giving a value proposition. And there's a new bed that just came out, and there's two manufacturers that everybody buys from, and they're both German companies. So every single tanning bed is made in Germany and then shipped over here, right? Their starting price, this, if you're a mom and pop, like let's just say you listen to this and you say, oh, I'm going to open Bennett's, you know, tan and spa. Your price is probably going to be about $10,000 more because, you know, we are one of the largest chains, so we get a discount because of our buying power, right? Our price on this new piece of equipment is $78,000 for one bed. So a mom and pop, if they can afford it, probably going to spend $85,000 for this one piece of equipment. For us, we understand that, hey, listen, if we add this piece of equipment, we're not upping our price. So it's a value proposition, right? So like for us, like we're nicer, just we are a spa-like environment that looks amazing. So our build outs are very nice. And, you know, we have, you know, really well negotiated prices because, you know, we're like one of Floor and Decor's like biggest contractors. So our price for, you know, our tile is a good price, but it's a very expensive looking tile and a nice tile. So like we have all these different vendors that we kind of cut down. Our build out looks like it's a $700,000 build out, but in all actuality, we're spending like $300,000 on the build out, right? And making sure it's really nice. So if we have a nice build out, you know, really well-trained staff, also the top of the line equipment, and we're charging $69, how do you compete?
Yeah, you have to have the bigger picture and you have to have the long-term vision and you have to have the capital, which is so hard to do by yourself. We've probably all heard the stats that I think it's every 80% of businesses go out of business within 5 years. Glow tanning has been around for 15 and they've never closed a store. Never heard of that. I'm sure there's a million things that could go into that. Is it the location, the products, the training, the branding, because you have the economies of scale? How the hell have you guys gone 15 years without closing a store? Especially considering so many other stores have closed due to consolidation.
Yeah, so it's a few things. Number one is being very picky on who we bring on for franchisees. That's number one. Number two is having an enormous amount of control over what happens. So like there is not a location that is picked out that I personally do not approve. We use my preferred real estate brokers. We choose every single location. Like we have certain metrics so we can go our top five locations nationwide. Mm-hmm. What is the traffic count? You know, who are the likewise tenants? How far are those tenants away? So, do you know, I'm just throwing things out there because I'm not giving the secret sauce, but like, are we near a Target? Are we near yep. Whole Foods? Are we near a Starbucks? You know, is it 30,000 vehicles per day? You know, all these metrics that we understand what works for us. And then also like in terms of our competition, how much competition do we have? How far are we from our competition? You know, for us personally, we actually prefer for there to be as much competition as possible, because the thing is that you don't create new customers, right? You acquire them. So somebody who is 40 years old has never tanned a day in their life, there's maybe a 5% chance that they're going to decide to tan in the next 20 years, right?
Yeah.
But the other 95%, either you tan or you don't, right? So that means that somebody else already has the customer that you're seeking. So if there are five salons within a 10-mile radius, that's amazing because we're better, cheaper, and faster than everybody else. So if we come in town, we're taking at least half of every single person's customers. So those average five stores, let's just say that they did $500,000 per location, and there's five of them, right? So that's $2.5 million in revenue that those are doing. Now we come in, that store can do $1.25 million in revenue because we're going to take half of their customers. And then over time, you know, two or three, maybe even four are going to close. And we consolidate those in, whether we buy them out, over time, or they just close in general. And that's how we also make so much money, is because we're just bringing a way better product. And the industry as a whole is transforming because the idea of what people have of a tanning salon, because we're really a sun spa, not a tanning salon. But at the end of the day, tanning isn't our name. And a lot of times that people are looking for us, they're looking for us because of tanning, and then they stay with us because of spa, right? So that's the retention tool of what we use. But when people think about tanning salon, people who've, you know, used to tan 10 years ago and haven't come back into a salon and then decide all of a sudden now I'm going to come back in, we do get a lot of those people because their friend uses us and they say, oh my God, this place is amazing. Like, it's literally like a spa day, because you go into our facility, we're giving you a bag with a robe so you can use multiple services, you know, all these things, right? So we really want to give that pampering spa-like experience. And we get those people back in the door. Yep. And the reason why our salon is also so successful is because the barrier of entry is so high. So like, the equipment is very expensive, the build outs are very expensive. To get a loan is almost impossible unless you are like a part of our brand or one of those other larger brands, because they're going off of the FDD to justify giving you the loan. You as a mom and pop go to the bank and say, hey, I want to open a tan salon, they're gonna tell you no. I guarantee.
And I'm gonna jump in here on FDD, because not everybody knows what an FDD is. Franchise disclosure document. The bank is gonna look at that, the financial performance of the system according to that section 19 or item 19. And I'm gonna have to include a link in the show notes here because it's the sexiest item 19 of like, wait, I mean, just to hear about it, it's broken down in quartiles, you know, and then I always jump straight to the bottom, even though typically I'm in the top quartile. I'm gonna jump to the bottom and see what my, you know, risk is there. And the bottom quartile still pulled in $252,000 in net profit. And I'm like, heck yeah. Now I'm trying to open one here in Utah, where I am going to open one, and I completely relate to the spa experience. That's one of the big reasons that sold me. I flew out to Dallas, did all of the services, and I'm like, man, I could live here. This is so cool. Who is the ideal franchisee for Glow Tanning?
So ideal franchisee for Glow, there's three things. So number one is somebody with operational experience, but not tanning experience, but just operational experience in general. That's one. Number two would be someone who is an operator who wants to actually like get in the store and like really figure it out. You don't have to be, you know, these things, but these are the most ideal, right? And then number three would be somebody who, and this one you have to be, someone who lacks ego. And what I mean by ego, there's people don't understand the difference between pride and ego. Pride is, hey, you know I'm good, I know I'm going to be great. You know, this is who I am, whatever, right? You're proud of like your achievements, your accomplishments, who you are, all those things. That's fine. Mm-hmm. Ego is thinking that you know everything and you can go it alone, right? So it's so like, at the end of the day, we have a system that works, that's successful, and we just need you to get out the way and follow the system. We actually have a rule where you're not allowed to give us any input or real feedback for a year. So you have
figure
to
figure it out. Yeah.
Yes, you have to do it our way, and when you've done it our way, then you can give us the feedback. And the reason why is because a lot of times people will say, hey, this doesn't make sense, or this could be better. Yes, in a vacuum, what they're saying is true, but they don't understand that this is this way because of this.
Yeah, they're not seeing the 15 years of success and never closing a store. It's like, let's trust that rather than like, I'm brand new to this. So, I mean, I completely agree with that.
Yeah. Everybody has the idea of like, oh my God, it'd be so much better if X. You know, I've had franchisees come on and say, we should do float pods. Like, no. You know, like
it's the grass is green. And you're like, no, just stick to the system and check out my, check out our financials. It works, guys. Just freaking stick to it. One thing I've heard you say as well, and I know this is important, the growth mindset. And then I just found out about one of your franchisees that's opening up their 9th salon and they started with 2 in Colorado. Tell me about that. Like the growth to get to 85 location has, started with 1. Tell me about the growth mindset and how people are able to grow within your organization.
We don't want anybody who wants anything less than 4 stores. Like they don't have to commit to 4 stores at once, but we want you to have a mindset of growth. Cause you know, our goal is, you know, we're at 100 stores now, next 3 years, 250. We don't want 250 franchisees. Right. So we want for people to have an area and grow within that area. It's easier to run 4 stores than it is 1. Because you have, you know, a plethora of employees, you have, you know, so much management, you have a district leader, you have an area leader, 2 area leaders, and then you have 4 managers. So that allows the owner to be an owner, right? So work on the business, not in the business. So really for us, it's like, hey, let's get you as profitable as possible, as quick as possible, so we can go to store number 2. Let's get that store profitable, store number 3. That store profitable, store number 4. And let's make sure, because with 4 stores, you're doing at least $1 million net, right? So that's what we want everybody.
When did this individual start with their first store? How long ago was that?
2020, end of 2020.
Okay, so he's growing fast. So he's likely pulling in $2 million profit. And he started with 1 store only 4 years ago. That's a lot of money. That's enough money to change your life and everybody's life in future generations if handled correctly. He did it in 4 years, started with 1 unit. That's awesome. Anyways, I just heard about that and I'm like, that's really cool to see people really start with just 1 thing and within a few years have generational wealth, which is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's doing better than that. I mean, he has
I'm sure he is.
$3 million stores. So, yeah,
he's doing great. Something I want to dive into is franchise support. Although I'm still newish to franchising, I am beyond impressed by the support. I'm just going to mention a few things. As a business owner of a franchise, it's typically employees. They're typically my biggest headache. In this industry, you need good employees because it's all about the memberships. It's all about the sales. It's all about getting into the spa service. And GlowTanning has some amazing numbers. 5% of all services are these spa services, which greatly reduce cancellations in the winter when not many people want to tan, but they will come in for red light, blue light, vibration play, massage beds, whatever, saunas. But you need to be able to sell and train and have every, anyways, tell me about the support as it regards to recruiting, training, onboarding employees so that they can really sell these memberships. And I'm going to plug in one other number. Over 70% of all revenues on memberships. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. And that's because the people are trained to sell. And then actually one other thing, lotion sales, product sales. I know GlowTanning charges cost. You guys don't make any kickbacks on anything that you guys are selling to the franchisees. That way franchisees can keep more money in their pocket. But a lot of these stores, like the average store, is paying for their payroll just off of product sales. How the hell do you train so many good salespeople in so many locations? Well, you have to centralize that and corporate has to do it, right? So anyways, walk me through that.
Yeah. There's 2 main metrics that we use for the staff, right? And that's how they get paid their commission. There is product per visit average. So that is product per each time an individual customer walks in the door. So if that person walks in the door that day, how much product did you sell per person that walked in that door? So if you had 100 individual people that walked in that door, then your product per visit average, let's just say $6. That means that day you sold $600 in products, right? That's just products. So that's tanning lotions, spray add-ons, those type of things. Then you have services, which is the other way you make money, which is membership sales, individual sessions. So then we also have the MCP, which is our membership close percentage. So out of every single person that walked in the door, what percentage of them did you sell a membership to? Now, every time somebody walks in, let's just say that you as a customer do not believe in putting your card on file for a membership, right? Every time you walk in that door in that month, let's say you come in 15 times, that counts as 15 missed opportunities. So you don't count as just one missed opportunity. You count as 15 missed opportunities. So they had 15 times to close you and they did not. Every single person that they closed counts as a closed opportunity. So if you have a 80% MCP, that means that 8 out of the 10 people that walked in the door, you close them on an EFT. I mean, I can even just...
Which is extremely high.
So if you see right here on the top far right, so Plano West had 93.85% of the people that walked in for month to date closed on a membership. Chickasha, 92. Uptown Dallas, 91.
For those listening, Ani's sharing his screen on a live month to date dashboard, which... I just love your openness about sharing everything because there's nothing that you're hiding, which is awesome. So that's what we're going through right now. He's rattling off live sales numbers and sales stats.
Yeah, today's the 15th of the month. So if you look at PPVA, that's product per visit average. So Saginaw, $8. Rogers, Arkansas, $7.71. So what that means is if this store right here has had, so this is month to date, this is for the day. Like Addison has had almost $30 per customer that walked in the door, what they've sold products. So if Addison's had 50 customers so far today, that means they've sold $1,500 in product. So month to date, like this, if this store right here has had 1,000 customers walk in the door so far this month through the first 15 days of the month, they've sold $8,000 in product. So this is per visit average. And then this is MCP, which is membership close percentage. Then if you go look here on the bottom right, is the spa. So 50% of Palm Harbor, Florida sessions are spa services. Kennesaw, Georgia, almost 50%. Rogers, Arkansas, 43%. McKinney, Texas, 43%. Garland, Texas. We do the metrics that we pay attention to see the health of a store. And it's not even to see the health of the store, actually, it's to see the performance of the employees. The things that we pay attention to see the health of a store is the unique customer average or the unique customer count. So like, is that if a store, let's just say a store is down from last year in revenue, the thing that you're more concerned with is not really the sales numbers, is the unique customer numbers. Because like if a competitor opened up and the unique customers are down 20%, that's a problem because, yep, you know, you lost 20% of your customers. But if the unique customers are up, but your sales are down, that's a staffing issue. So we're able to really like look, so your staff are just not selling.
It just all comes down to these metrics, these dashboards. Again, go look at other franchises and they don't have these live dashboards that we can see and compete against. I've recruited and trained hundreds of salespeople and it's a pain in the ass. And then I got into food and it's such a high turnover. It's like, I don't want to keep training people how to make cookies, you know? Glow Tanning, you guys help a ton. You guys have a corporate recruiter that has all of the standard operating procedures on how to recruit. A corporate Indeed account that has every single job listing that franchisees just go in there, pick how much they want to pay, what their budget is, press go. Then once they do the interviews, this was the most amazing part, I think, you guys take them back. You take their new employees and you guys train them for a full week live virtual training. And I think that is the key to the high retention, to the high product sales, to everything that you're selling, is you're not letting the franchisees figure out how to do sales training. You're doing it for them. Every other week, Glow Tanning is offering sales training to any new employees throughout the entire system, which really correlates to these high lotion sales, high retention, high spa, high memberships.
And as we grow, we'll move it to every week. So it's available every single week as we grow. So yeah, I mean, we want to take all guesswork out of it. So there is no guesswork. It's literally like, if you follow our system, you're going to do amazing. That's it.
Yep. And I think a lot of that applies to marketing as well. So if I want to spend $3,000 a month, I'm going to go find a marketing agency. They're going to charge me 20, 30%. So I give them $3,000. They take their fee. Let's say it's 25%. Then I get $2,500 that goes towards Facebook, Google, whatever. What Glow Tanning does is you guys have, just like everything else, an in-house marketing person that you don't charge for. It's included in the royalties. So I go on there and I say, I want this ad. I want to spend this much money. Go. If I want to spend $3,000, I'm not getting hit with a $500 management fee. All $3,000 goes towards Facebook, Google, Meta, whoever, which I think is very unique. And then also the brand ambassador, if you could hit on that. I know you guys are doing 20 brand ambassadors, which are local influencers that'll come in every single month to do stories and posts in exchange for just free tanning, right? It doesn't cost anything. 20 for the grand opening. And then you guys have a team that is constantly looking to keep roughly 10 active ambassadors per month per location, all done by corporate. So you guys provide a lot of marketing support. Touch on that a little bit if you can.
Yeah. So we realized that our marketing is multifaceted, and it's number one, you have paid advertising, which we handle like all the back ends. All you really do is just set the budget, like you said. So you have Google Ads, super important. We have some of we outsource it to a guy that's been doing Google Ads for well over 5 years. So he has it completely figured out, the exact keywords. It's adjusted every single month, all that.
Now, when you say outsource, though, Glow's still paying for him. As a franchisee,
you're not. I'm saying outsource as in this is a professional company that only does Google Ads. They don't do Meta Ads. They don't do any other ads, just Google, right? So we have that. Then we have another company that just does Meta Ads. So that is Facebook and Instagram, and that's it, right? Also, the franchisee is not paying extra for any of this. You're just paying for your ad spend, and they do the Meta Ads for every single Glow location nationwide. So they're looking and seeing the different trends, like what's working in Colorado, what's working in Pennsylvania, what's working in Arkansas, what's working in Florida, what's working in Mississippi, what's working in Maryland, right? So we're looking, at everything and what's working where. Then we also have, in addition to that, we have brand ambassadors, because we understand that influencers are some of the best ways to get people, especially this new generation. Influencers are going to reach you more than paid ads, right? So that's actually a very cheap way for us to get people in the door, because it's like a recommendation. Even if they don't know somebody, they trust their opinion, right? So you have the influencers on that. Then in addition to that, we also have a loyalty program. So the loyalty program where people get points for how long you kept your membership. How many people did you refer to Glow? Now, just because you refer to somebody doesn't mean you're getting paid. That person actually has to come in, and then it automatically uploads the points to your loyalty program. So we also have the loyalty program. So for us, between loyalty, ambassadors, Meta Ads, and Google Ads, that's essentially everything that you need, as well as just organic social media. Which is like, we have a company out of Tampa that does all of our videos and all that, does our posting on Instagram and TikTok and Facebook. And then we also have about five in-house employees that, photography, graphics, general marketing admin. Also our brand ambassadors program is actually in-house. We have, full-time people that just search for brand ambassadors, and also verify that the brand ambassadors are doing what they're supposed to be doing. Because there's a certain amount of posts that they're supposed to have a month for them to be able to get the free services. So we have softwares that keeps track of all these things and also make sure that they're posting in brand.
Yeah. Right?
Because you don't want somebody posting something that doesn't fit the brand of what we have.
All of these processes and procedures, it feels so much like a giant, like a Palm Beach, 1,000 locations, right? And what I'm hitting at right now is you have small brands that are good because you get wide open territories, you get handholding from the owner, you get all these things, but they don't have their shit figured out, right? With Glow Tanning, clearly you can see based on not only just the success, but everything that we're talking about right here, it's figured out. You just have to do it, right? But you still have a wide open market. There's only 100 locations open. So there's so many really good markets that'll, now that you're actually open up to franchising and not just letting internal growth, they'll probably fill up pretty fast, but it's wide open. You're kind of getting the best of both worlds. And I want to hit on another thing on that, the call center. I want to go into a tanning salon and I don't want to see somebody on the phone. I don't want to get the finger like 1 minute. And you guys have solved that as well by bringing the call center in-house, memberships, cancellation. Why did you guys do that?
Number one is so we can get honest feedback and complaints. That's number one. But even more important than that, when you're working behind the counter, let's just say there's two people there, right? One person might be cleaning a bed. The other person is helping the customer. If someone calls, you're now on the phone and somebody's in front of you. You're either giving bad customer service to the person on the phone or the person in front of you. You can't give good customer service to both, right?
Yep.
So it allows our staff in the store to focus strictly on the customer in the store. In addition, there's so much training that goes into handling customer complaints, phone etiquette, answering the questions as they should be answered. So we just decided that, hey, you know what? We're going to get a call center and we are going to train. I think we have 30 agents in our call center. We will train these 30 people on how to answer the phones for all 100 locations. And that's it, right? And we have quality control to where, you know, even we actually have a AI bot. Every single phone call is recorded. So if somebody says, well, this person told me this, we can literally pull up the phone call and say, you know, that's not true.
Right? I mean, you're applying these same SOPs that you have everything else in the business, everything figured out to a T, to the call center. So the franchisee doesn't have to worry about it. Right.
You don't have to worry about training their people how to answer the phone. They don't have to answer the phone. They don't have to handle any customer complaints. They do nothing. If somebody complains, if like say somebody calls and says, I left my wedding ring there, then guest services emails over to that location immediately. Every location has an email. So saltlake@glowtanning.com. Then you as the owner will get that. Your manager will get that email. And you guys know like, hey, this customer has their phone number, whatever. You guys can, you know, respond back and say, hey, we found the ring. It's, you know, it's up front. And then guest service will call them back and say that, or you can call them yourselves, whatever. Right?
Which all of that is simple, right? Very simple. It's not even a cost to the franchisee, right? Glow Tanning is paying for that. That's including the services. Not because you're a nice guy, I assume. Not that you're not a nice guy, but you're doing it because, you know, if all the franchisee's employees can focus on customer service there and upselling memberships and selling lotions, then I make my royalty off of that. The franchisee's more happy. They're going to open up more locations. I mean, it's all because I, you know, I'm footing this bill. And I've seen that time and time and again, as you're setting up the system, you're like, I'm going to pay for the marketing. I'm going to pay for the recruiter. I'm going to pay for everything because I know the money's going to come back in royalties. It's really big picture play here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. In addition to that, we're looking at it like we also have more technology that also goes into it. Like we have an AI bot that screens every single call and is able to tell us like if somebody raises their voice, right? And then it gets sent to, we have agents that literally just screen calls. So we have a saying, right? And this is for all of our staff, whether you're in the call center, behind the store, whatever. They respect what you inspect. So we treat our employees with respect, but we don't care what you say. We care what you do. We don't believe what we hear. We believe what we see, right? So every single thing is audited. There's not a thing that we do that is not audited, and it's automated. We automate everything. So at the end of the night, you're getting an email. I'll actually pull one up to share. So we audit everything. So this is a daily audit that I got, right? So daily audit. So spray tan discrepancies. And if someone did not charge for something that they were supposed to charge for, it literally tells you how much the deduction is. And this comes off of their commission. So like we reward you, we give you 10% of whatever you sell in terms of membership and also in terms of products. So if for the month you've sold $10,000 worth of memberships and products, you're going to get $1,000. That's because you did a great job, right? When you don't do a good job and you forget to charge somebody for, right here, a rapid bronze with double legs and posts, they were supposed to charge for $20. They did not charge that. So then this person is getting a $20 deduction. So we're not losing money. That person is losing money because they're the ones who made the mistake. Discount discrepancy. So they gave an incorrect membership discount. So the deduction amount, she was not supposed to discount this 40%. She discounted 40%, so she's getting $32. So that was $32 extra discount that she gave.
Is this also sent out? I mean, these are your stores, right? Do franchisees also get a similar report? Are you also tracking all this for each franchisee employee?
Yes. Wow. This is all stuff that our developers created, right? So this goes out to, and it can go out to whoever. So like, let's say you own the store You want your wife to get it and you want your manager to get this. Everybody will get this. Mm-hmm. So client comments. These are interested in 2-in-1 follow up next time she comes in. So this is like tips for them to help, right? Request a refund, a $29 enrollment fee. Like, so these are all, this is a guest services representative, guest service representative. This is an employee. So it has all the comments on here. And this is the different things that they audit for, right? Employee TAM, missed opportunities. So this is all the people that walked in the door that literally did not buy a membership. So what this is the audit so that like the manager can go and say, okay, so Bailey saw Cherry and did not sell membership. What can we coach her on for her to, you know, not have that missed opportunity in the future, right?
So you're really identifying the problem through metrics rather than crap, my store's not doing as well. Crap, my products, do you still use the word shrinkage when you just lose product? You know, people are stealing it. You know that you need to keep track of all this, but it's like, now I know where to go. If I know that my sales are low, I know it's because I'm not selling somebody or I'm giving away free product, and I know which employees are doing good and which employees are doing bad. Then I can decide, do I retrain that person or do I replace them? But I know exactly the employee. I mean, this is awesome.
Yeah. So the comp sessions, right? Like, so this person gave a comp session to this person. So why do they give a comp session? So it looks like more than likely, she sprayed her in the Norvell and it didn't work or something. So then she did a comp session because she already did the session, didn't work. Right. So employee purchases, you know, what are the discounts? So employees get 50% off products. So like, it's telling you like, hey, what are the discounts? What do they give? New customers, payment on account. Membership cancellations, you know, package adjustments.
It's so detailed, every single name.
Yep. So telling you exactly, you know, who did what and what they did. Family membership activity, membership listed without token. So it has every single detail. So we automate all of our audits. And so we're auditing our call center, we're auditing our employees, we're auditing everything. So we want to make sure that there's no one. We're not missing anything in terms of opportunities, but then also we're not missing anything in terms of people stealing.
Yep.
Right.
And there's always that risk with employees. Are they going to, you know, are they going to be good? Are they going to steal from me? Are they going to go through training? I spend all this time and then they leave. Well, Glow Tanning is taking a lot of that risk off. Like, no, we do the training, you know, we're auditing it. We're telling you exactly which employees are doing good and which aren't. And then looking at that, it would be easy to see like, man, you guys are like, you run a tight ship. Do your employees even like working for you? I've met a lot of the employees because I've visited several stores and they love it. And particularly, I think it was Rachel who I spoke with, who talked to me about her path to become a franchise owner when she started at an entry-level position. So I know you guys take really good care of your employees and you even have a path to allow them to become owners. Could you touch on that for a sec?
Yeah. So so basically we have a program called Own Your Future. So started this program about 3 years ago. And so really realized that there was a problem, right? So I looked at it and I said, okay, so 15 years ago when I, you know, started Glow and I was, you know, 21 years old, the first location was right across the street from the University of Arkansas. And I had employees that worked for me for 4 years, freshman to senior year, they graduate, they get their big girl job, right? And very proud of these people. You know, I've probably had well over 10,000 employees in the last 15 years. And I've probably received like 1,000 wedding invitations and just, you know, different, you know, notes and messages on Instagram and Facebook and whatever, and just updates on life. And I'm very proud of, you know, all my former employees and as they move on and they find success in life and in business. And I kind of realized, I was like, man, it sucks because we have them for 4 years or we have them as they pass through and until they find a real job, right? But this is a real job. So what can we do? So then I realized, I said, okay, well, how can we make this a career so we're not losing good employees, people that love Glow, right? And love what they do. So the solution last year, we had 2,500 people apply for franchising. The reason why, that's not normal per se, but part of the reason why was there was like a viral interview that I did that had like 25 million views. Off of that, we got like 2,500 people that applied in addition to So because we typically will have, I would probably say like 500 people on a normal year.
Yeah.
This year was five times that, right? We only accepted five. Why did we only accept five? Because there was, let's say probably half of those people don't qualify financially. So that's half gone. then you have probably 80% that have money, but don't want to do the work. So they don't want to operate and they don't have an operator, but they like, hey, I have $1 million liquid. I love the brand. I'm a customer. I want to open 5 stores. And we're like, we love that you love the brand. We really appreciate that, but we can't sign you up, right? Because we have a certain standard that we hold and we want to be at, and we can't go off of that standard. And if we don't hold everybody to that same standard in terms of operationally, that's where the brand reputation starts to suffer, right? So looking at that problem, which is there's a lack of operators, but there's a ton of potential investors, yep. Right? So now, and then also there's a lack of a career path that pays them. Like, yes, you can move up in Glow and make really good money, like way more than the average American makes as a district leader or even as an area leader. That's cool. But there's only so many of those positions, right? So where do you graduate after that? And so then we started the owner's program, which is the Own Your Future program. And basically it links an investor with an operator. So if you work with us for 3 years and you're in leadership, we'll basically get you a store. So we've had, I believe we have like 9 stores right now that are owned by employees. Well, they're now owners, but they're former employees, yeah. Right? So 9 stores that are owned by former employees. One employee has 3, one has 2, and then the other ones all have 1, but they're opening their second because the investors are like so happy.
Yeah, they're like, let's keep going. You're going to do the work. We split profit. Let's do it.
Yeah. So these stores are amazing. I do nothing. Right.
Yep.
And they're getting all their money back. So the way it works is, I mean, somebody is, we help them get the funding. They put up, let's say 10% of the funding. So we'll talk about how the SBA works real quick. So essentially SBA we've never been denied an SBA loan. So as long as you have like 100K liquid, we can get you approved. Right. So let's just say a store costs $700,000 to open, price vary anywhere from, 400 to 900, $1,000, right. Depending on the size of the store, what work needs to be done at that location, whatever, but let's just say on average, 700, 750. So SBA is going to require 10% down. So that's like 75K plus there's a few fees and all that type of stuff, but they'll also give you working cap. So now, you put that money in, you get the loan, your total loan package might be $850,000. So that's $750 for the store, $20,000 in fees, and then $80,000 in working capital, which working capital is just cash that they're giving you back, right? So you put in $100,000 of that $850. So your actual loan is for $750. Well, that $850, you're getting that in depreciation on your taxes. So if you make $250,000 a year, that's 3 years that you're not going to pay taxes.
Which is huge.
Yeah. So if you're a W-2 employee and you pay, $100,000 in taxes every single year for 3 years, you get a tax refund for $100,000 for the next 3 years, right? To get that depreciation. Then when that loan is paid off, typical payoff is going to be about 4 years because you have 3 years plus a year of interest, right? Is the way I calculate it. You also get all your cash back that you put into it. So once that's paid back, then now the employee is now a partner in that. And you guys are splitting, distribution payments. So if the store is making $300,000, they're making $150 a year off that store. You're making $150 a year off that store. And you got depreciation that's more than the equity that you put into the store. You get all your money paid back in your equity position, and you're not doing any work. So we have too many investors. And not enough operators is our problem now.
Yep. Right? I mean, look at the numbers. Anybody will throw money at that. How do you make it work? Yeah. Which you have the amazing system, but you need the operator, which you're providing.
Yeah. So a lot of times what we're seeing now, it's like, a dad that wants to do something for his daughter, a wife that, wants to do something for herself, and it's one of those businesses where we want you all in, but that doesn't mean you're working 40 hours, a week behind the counter, but we want you to like be all in when it first starts and get and understand and learn how to do everything in the business. And then you can step back. But a lot of times people think that from the jump that they're able to just to like oh, I'm just going to get it open and
throw in some money, you know, and it's magic. But it's like, no, yeah, it's exactly. magic in the system, in the fact that we do 90% of the work for you, but you'd have to, yep. you have to finish that 10%. Last question, and this is more on the personal side, was what has been your favorite part of owning a tanning business? And I mean, just being a business owner in general.
Yeah. So I think for me, I mean, truthfully, and I might sound like a little cliche, but like changing people's lives. I think my favorite part, you know, I was actually asked this on a podcast yesterday. What are you most proud of? That was a question.
Yeah.
And the owners program. I'm the one who placed every single one of these potential owners with the investor. Cause I basically give the green light or the green stamp on these people. One of the owners texted me 2 days ago and just literally, in fact, let me just like pull it up and see exactly what she said. She literally said, thank you. That's all. Like, let me see if I
can. Yeah.
Thank you. That's all. They love what they're doing and they love the fact that they got an opportunity to do something that they would never have that opportunity to have ownership in something that is this profitable and yeah. forget about the profit. They love what they do.
Yeah.
Right. And also they love being called the owner. Right.
So you're telling me I could work at a glow tanning, make $20 an hour, 3 years, you'll partner with someone. We'll open it up. I'll be paid a salary for a few years. Once the SBA loan is paid off, then I'm making $150 a year. That's insane. You know, $150 a year. That's for one, and that's for half of one, and that's also below your average, according to the FDD. And yes. then, but talk about the equity, right? Well, if I were to sell this glow tanning and it's a developed store, I think I've heard you say that every glow tanning that's ever switched hands has sold for over $1 million. So plus there's the
equity. Yeah, so you know, I open a lot of stores personally, but I also have sold, like in the last year, I sold 6 locations. On average, those six locations sold for $1.2 million each.
And so this owner's model, this employee that's now an owner, they actually have equity. So it's not just the income. They're also building that equity that if they were to sell one day, they're getting a piece of that equity. Is that correct?
Yeah. So a lot of times the way that, because we and also me myself, I have to approve every owner's program agreement because I want to make sure that somebody's looking out for the employee, you know, not just some like private equity guy that's like structuring some crazy, you know, thing where, and this employee's just like, oh, I get ownership. And it's like a buy here, pay later type of deal. Yep. Right. So somebody has to look out for the little guy, and I have my attorney review, you know, all these agreements, but some of the agreements are, you know, stated like, hey, we're 50-50 partners in terms of all payments. But then like if it was sold one day that, you know, they're like a 25%, you know, equity partner upon sale. So if it's sold for, you know, $1.2 million, they would get $300K. But to get $300K when your cash investment in it was $0,
yep.
you know, your return is infinite, right?
You're stoked on that for sure. I love that. Business ownership is awesome. Just giving you that ability to have your own owner's program or do whatever you want for your own employees and empower people and really change lives. But it has so much risk to it. You know, we mentioned the 80% businesses, you know, go under within 5 years. And that's where this franchising in general, specifically this model, really comes in. Because if you're telling me that you're going to help me find my lease location as the owner and you've done all of them and you have a perfect record so far, who else is offering that? Like, how else do I lower my risk? And that's probably my biggest risk point, right? Is signing that lease and making sure it's a good spot.
Absolutely. In addition to that, right? Something that I coach people on privately that don't even have to do a glow, but some people, you know, just said, hey, I want to do it for glow. Is in addition to that, I own about 24 of the, like every single commercial strip mall that I own is, has glow in it. So I leverage glow to buy the strip mall. Right. And, you know, I have a franchisee in Arkansas that closes next month on his first building for glow.
That's
so,
awesome.
So it's like, you know, it's also wealth creation and wealth preservation. Right. Mm-hmm. And you are your own landlord. So these are all things that, like, for me, somebody who says, okay, well, I want to do that. That's not a location number one type of thing. That's like, hey, I have 4 locations. I'm making $1 million a year net. Between the 4 locations, I want to open location number 5 and I want to own the building on that one. Now that is very easy and something I can help you do. Or my lease is coming up on my first location. I want to buy either that building or a building down the street and move that location. You know, I think because like pretty much every single building in Oklahoma City and we have are, you know, that's probably our most saturated market along with, you know, Dallas. I own every single building in Oklahoma City, short of one.
So on top of making 376 profit per location per year, then you have to account for the increase of real estate. Plus you're making a margin by paying yourself. So all around, it's so awesome to see. I mean, you could tell you've been in it for 15 years, right? You've thought of it, you've experienced it. You've probably failed a few times and just kept going. So this is awesome. I really appreciate your time on explaining the glow tanning experience. I think it's the best item 19, the best franchise I've seen out there. Anybody can challenge me on that. Send me a better item 19. Anyways, Ani, I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
My pleasure.